On one crisp, chilly morning last month, I was sitting on the side of a grassy hill in the Dordogne region of France. Although I was not alone, there must have been 400 other people there with me scattered along that hillside. It was as quiet as if I was there all by myself. We were all participating in the summer retreat at a place called Plum Village. This is the home of Thich Nhat Hanh, a well-known Vietnamese Buddhist monk, and it was he who led us on a walking meditation to that hilltop. Thay, as he is called by his students, had set a very slow and deliberate pace, taking us through neat rows of plum trees, past twisty grapevines, and then up that grassy slope. As I sat there looking over the valley, I breathed in, aware that I was breathing in. And I breathed out, aware that I was breathing out. I felt a deep sense of well-being. I felt solid and grounded. I knew at that moment who I was and that I truly belonged to this world. I felt powerful and confident and peaceful. In religious language, it was a sense of reverence, an encounter with the holy in me. You know this feeling. I know you do. You've told me. You've told me about those times when you've looked into the eyes of your newborn and you felt awash in well-being and peace. You've told me about standing at the ocean's edge and feeling an immense gratitude for your life, so immense that the sadness that you had been carrying for weeks just fell away in that moment. You've told me about armchair revelations that enabled your heart to grow so big that you were finally able to forgive yourself. This is how we are meant to live. Opened at last, fallen in love with solid ground. We were not meant to live in this persistent, chronic state of anxiety and discontent and regret. Although this kind of spiritual suffering is present for all of us, we don't have to let those difficulties control our lives, taking away our freedom, taking away our sovereignty over our lives. I think one of the most wonderful things about being a human being is that we do not have to be controlled by our impulses and our emotions. We are fully capable of transforming suffering into something more beneficial. We are even capable of embracing suffering as a difficult but essential part of our spiritual growth. Now, some faiths, as you know, equate suffering to sin, and claim that the only way that you can find relief from this pain is through worship of an external deity or supernatural force. Unitarian Universalists seek relief from this suffering by relying on the capacities inherent in each person to transform or accept those painful elements of life. Now, you theistic leaning you use would say that these capacities are a reflection of a divine spark that connects each to all, a gift of God. And you humanist leaning you use would say that these capacities are inherent in human beings as an outgrowth of evolution, a gift of nature. The state of deep peace and well-being that I'm talking about is not a state of some kind of blissed out joy. It's not that giddy, happy feeling that masks our pain and suffering for a few moments. In fact, the experience of deep peace and groundedness is a place from which you can best engage your pain and suffering. The house where I slept in Plum Village was about half a mile from the main hamlet where we ate our meals. And so several times a day, I had to walk down the narrow country road. At first, I walked very quickly, like I usually do. You know, I was giddy and happy. I was in France. I didn't want to talk about or think about any of my unpleasant feelings or regrets or anything like that. And so I would, you know, just walk down the street really, really quickly and say hello to all the cream-colored cows and bonjour to the little children on their bicycles. After many, many days, though, of listening to Thay's Dharma talks, and after many hours of sitting in silent meditation and walking meditation, I noticed that the pace of my walking finally did slow down. And as it did, my mind slowed down, and I began to realize that I had been living my life as though it was, as the poet says, a headlong rush into the next moment. What's next? What's next? What's next? I was living my life as though it was a straight line from the date of my birth to the yet unknown date of my death. And I saw that this is an illusion. The truth is that my destination is not some future point in time or space. Rather, with every step, I am arriving at my life. This is an experience of coming home, sinking down, fallen in love with solid ground. As Parker Palmer put it, he was describing spirituality, and he said, you know, spirituality is mostly about encountering reality. It is an effort to penetrate the illusions of the external world, and the spiritual journey is one that goes downward toward concrete reality. The moment my foot touches the ground is a moment of perfect peace and well-being. I have arrived. I am home. From that place of solidity, then I am able to turn to face my worries and my anxieties and my regrets and all those things that I didn't want to think about. They didn't seem as painful as before. And after that realization, I was able to walk very, very slowly. And often I would repeat the mantra that Thay taught the children, we, merci, merci, yes, yes, thank you, yes, yes, thank you. Thank you. Now you may be thinking, well, sure, it's pretty easy to feel grounded and peaceful while you're in the French countryside. And as a minister, I know that I am very, very fortunate to have been granted time by this congregation to be in spiritual renewal. But you know what? Those moments of well-being and deep, deep connectedness do not depend on the external world. They do not require a special place or special equipment. Those moments arise from the body. They arise from the mind. But if you are just beginning, if you're just beginning to learn the practices that will help engender more of these experiences,
well, then yes, it does help to go to a secluded and quiet place. It does help to remove yourself from the distractions of your daily life. And thankfully, those places are in abundance here in Tidewater Country and in the Blue Ridge Mountains. Mainly, though, it is a matter of consistent practice. A consistent practice to bring out certain capacities that we all have within us. We all possess both negative and positive capacities. We have the capacity to love, and we have the capacity to hate. We have the capacity to understand and to be resentful. We have the capacity to be driven by anxiety and grief and anger, and we have the extraordinary capacity not to be automatically driven by these emotions. The point of this practice is not merely to feel good, even though feeling good is wonderful. There is even something more valuable than that, and that is the ability to stand solidly enough, to be connected strongly enough to your true self, that when difficult situations do arise, you can respond to them in a way that will leave you with few regrets, knowing that you did the best you could do at that moment. Sometimes, especially when things are getting really frantic and busy, it feels like all I can do is react, like a machine that is receiving input. Like I have this pre-programmed software that takes the input and spits out a reaction. And often, that reaction is not the one that I would have chosen if I was exercising what I would call my full sovereignty over myself. Often those reactions are a result of my past conditioning, from my parents, and from old wounds that I keep carrying around with me. Those reactions come out then as anger or impatience, as judgment of myself or others, or fear. The reason that I practice what Thay taught at Plum Village is that I want to be the author of my own life. I resent being pulled and tugged by things that I don't really want to be pulled and tugged by. I want to act with full sovereignty. Now, I've been using this word practice a lot this morning, saying that if you want more experiences of peace and well-being and groundedness in your life, you must practice. Practice? Practice what? Practice mindfulness. Practice doing everyday things in a way that will help you to stay awake to your life and strengthen your ability to appreciate the joy and face. Thich Nhat Hanh has devoted his life to teaching people the practice of mindfulness because he believes that's how the human race will arrive at peaceful coexistence. Thay is not one of those monks who went off to live in some monastery on a hill and sit quietly and contemplate. In fact, he founded the movement of engaged Buddhism. He became a very outspoken peace activist. So outspoken, in fact, that he was exiled from his home country of Vietnam for 40 years. He just returned in 2005. His teachings are very simple and practical and immediately applicable to one's life. He talks about mindfully washing the dishes, about brushing your teeth, about sweeping the floor, about eating an orange. I admit that when I first read his book on mindfulness, I thought these exercises were a little corny, a little too simple. But I came to see that the teachings on mindfulness are really very, very deep. For example, sitting still and breathing. Pretty much as basic as you can get. Everybody can start doing that. You can do that right now, actually. Sit still, breathe. Notice the in-breath. Notice the out-breath. And yet this very simple act, when practiced with diligence and concentration, can lead to profound awakening and enlightenment. You can become a Buddha. Mindful eating is another practice that everyone can start today in a few hours. When you're eating, notice where your hands are, where your spoon and fork are, what it feels like to chew, what it feels like to swallow. And if you do this every day, as your practice deepens, you may then start to contemplate other things like, is the food I'm eating good for my body? Where did this food come from? What hands touch this food? What are their lives like? And in this way, you become more aware and more awake to your life. It will change the way you live. What you consume and how you relate to others, it will expand your circle of concern. Now, looking out at your faces, I can see that some of you may find this topic challenging. And I think one of the reasons for that is because the sermon form really, it's not the best way to convey this teaching. Because it is only through direct personal experience that we can begin to understand. And so, if you are interested and you want to further your understanding, I invite you to come back on Tuesday night, because every Tuesday evening at 6:30, right here on the chancel, the meditation group meets, and they do walking meditation and silent sitting meditation. What I've been talking to you about this morning is a fairly high spiritual aspiration. But even if you become mindful of only some of your actions, that will still help to promote inner peace and greater well-being in your life. Because for this practice to be valuable, you don't have to be a Buddha. You don't even have to be Buddhist. Just start breathing in, noticing that you are breathing in, and breathing out, notice that you are breathing out. Now that I'm back to work and back into the church year, it feels like I have 100 things I have to do right now. And I know a lot of you are getting ready to go back to school and work, and you may feel like that too. I can feel those familiar butterflies going in my stomach, and I can feel the tension rising in my neck. My first intuition is to try to bring back the summer. Try to go back there. I want to sit quietly and just remember the experiences of peace and deep, deep joy that I felt when all the tension in my neck was gone and the only butterflies were in the wildflowers. But that is not what I need to do. That is actually a way of turning away from my life. What I need to do is to fully engage in each moment of my life. The beauty of mindfulness practice is that it is not just another task to be added to my long, long to-do list. I can do everything on my to-do list with as much mindfulness as I am capable of at that moment. And sometimes it feels really, really hard. And so at those times, when my mind seems like it's scattered into a million pieces, I breathe and I walk outside, and I try to walk very slowly, saying, "Oui, oui, merci, merci." Fallen in love again with solid ground. Blessed be.